Good morning and welcome in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. While this would ordinarily be the fourth Sunday after the Epiphany, today we celebrate the installation of the Reverend Luke Bernthal into the pastoral office of the Holy Ministry at St. Stephen Lutheran Church of the East and West Bay. Our order of service will be Divine Service Setting 4 in the Lutheran Service Book, which is the maroon hymnal in your front pew, and that begins on page 203. Hopefully, all of this is pretty clear in the service bulletin. The hymns are basically not page numbers, but our first hymn will be 578, which will be back here. And then we just follow between the hymns and everything which is in either the order of service in the Lutheran service book or in the bulletin. Hopefully it's pretty clear. We'll begin our service then with the singing of our first hymn, hymn 578, Thy Strong Word That Cleave the Darkness, and it has six stanzas, but we aren't going to sing, not everyone will sing all six one after the other. That's never how these things were meant to be sung, but rather, for the first stanza, everyone sings. The second stanza, the men sing. The third stanza, that's the pulpit side of the congregation. That's this side of the congregation sings. The fourth stanza, the women sing. The fifth stanza, the lectern side of the congregation. That's this side sing. And then for the last stanza, we stand in honor of our triune God and all join in the sixth and final stanza. We join our hearts and voices in hymn 578, Thy Strong Word That Cleave the Darkness.
Thank you.
We now continue with our service, which begins on page 203 of our hymnal. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Our help is in the name of the Lord,
who made heaven and earth.
If you, O Lord, kept the record of sins, O Lord, who could stand?
But with you there is forgiveness, therefore you are feared.
We now turn again to our worship bulletin, and we confess our sins to our Father.
Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen.
In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. For those who believe in Jesus Christ, he gives power to become the children of God and bestows on them the Holy Spirit. May the Lord, who has begun this good work in us, bring it to completion in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I will speak of your statutes before kings, O Lord, and will not be put to shame. I will sing of the love of the Lord forever. With my mouth I will make your faithfulness known throughout all generations. The heavens praise your wonders, O Lord, your faithfulness too in the assembly of the holy ones. Almighty and gracious God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has commanded us to pray that you would send forth laborers into your harvest, of your infinite mercy give us true teachers and ministers of your word, and put your saving gospel into their hearts and on their lips, that they may truly fulfill your command and preach nothing contrary to your holy word, that we, being warned, instructed, nurtured, comforted, and strengthened by your heavenly word, may do those things which are well-pleasing and profitable through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, ever the one true God, world without end.
Amen.
seated. For this installation service, the Old Testament lesson is written in the 42nd chapter of the book of the prophet Isaiah, beginning at the first verse, which is one of the servant's songs in Isaiah. Behold my servant, whom I uphold, my chosen, in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the nations. He will not cry aloud or lift up his voice or make it heard in the street. A bruised reed he will not break, and a faintly burning wick he will not quench. He will faithfully bring forth justice. He will not grow faint or be discouraged till he has established justice in the earth, and the coastlands wait for his law. Thus says God the Lord, who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread out the earth and what comes from it, who gives breath to the people on it and spirit to those who walk in it. I am the Lord. I have called you in righteousness. I will take you by the hand and keep you. I will give you a covenant for the people, a light for the nations, to open the eyes that are blind, to bring out the prisoners from the dungeon, from the prison, those who sit in darkness. I am the Lord. That is my name. My glory I give to no other, nor my praise to carved idols. Behold, the former things have come to pass, and new things I now declare. Before they spring forth, I will tell you of them. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The epistle lesson, which also serves as the lesson for this morning's sermon, and which was also chosen by Pastor Bernthal, is written in the fourth chapter of St. Paul's second letter to the Corinthians, beginning at the first verse. Therefore, since we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we do not lose heart. But we have renounced the things hidden because of shame, not walking in craftiness or adulterating the word of God, but by the manifestation of truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, in whose case the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving, so that they might not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus as Lord, and ourselves as your bondservants for Jesus' sake. For the God who said, "Light shall shine out of the darkness," is the one who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, so that the surpassing greatness of the power will be of God and not from ourselves. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not despairing. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body the dying of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. For we who live are constantly being delivered over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So death works in us, but life in you. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
For those who are able, we now stand to speak the gradual responsively, and then at the end we sing the triple Alleluia, which is printed on page 205 of our hymnal. Righteous are you, O Lord,
and upright in your presence.
Deal with your servant according to your steadfast love.
And teach me your statutes.
How blessed are those whose way is blameless.
Who walk in the word of the Lord.
How blessed are those who observe his testimonies.
Who seek him with all their heart.
I shall give thanks to you with uprightness of heart.
When I learn your righteous judgments.
With all my heart I have sought you.
Do not let me wander from your hand.
With my lips I have told
of the ordinances of your mouth.
I have rejoiced in the way of your testimonies.
As much as in all riches.
I will meditate on your precepts.
And regard your ways.
Alleluia, O praise the Lord, all you nations, and laud him, all you people.
For his merciful kindness is great for us, and the truth of the Lord endures forever.
We remain standing to hear the Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 10th chapter. And James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to Jesus and said to Jesus, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you." And Jesus said to them, "What do you want me to do for you?" And they said to Jesus, "Grant us to sit, one at your right hand and one at your left, in your glory." Jesus said to them, "You do not know what you are asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink, or be baptized with the baptism with which I am baptized?" And they said to Jesus, "We are able." And Jesus said to them, "The cup that I drink, you will drink, and with the baptism with which I am baptized, you will be baptized. But to sit at my right hand or my left is not mine to grant, but it is for those for whom it has been prepared." And when the 10 heard it, they began to be indignant at James and John. And Jesus collected them to him and said to them, "You know that those who are considered to be rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. But it shall not be among you. But whoever would be great among you must be your servant, and whoever would be first among you must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you,
please join me as we now make confession of our Christian faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed, which is printed on page 207 of our hymnal.
I
believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Please be seated. We now continue with hymn 681 in the Lutheran service book, "Send, O Lord, Your Holy Spirit."
Thank you.
to those who are called, sanctified by God the Father, and preserved in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, grace, mercy, and love be multiplied unto you. We hear a portion of the epistle lesson from St. Paul's second letter to the Corinthians, which was read earlier, and which Pastor Bernthal chose for this service. The apostle writes, "For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus as Lord, and ourselves as bond servants for Jesus' sake. For God said, 'Light shall shine out of darkness,' is the one who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ." So far the reading. Let us pray. Let the words of my mouth and meditation of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our redeemer. Amen. You know, we are indeed thankful that God the Holy Spirit led Pastor Bernthal to accept the call to St. Stephen Lutheran Church of the East and West Bay, as well as St. Stephen Lutheran School. And we're thankful that God granted him favorable weather, at least I think he did, as he drove from Valentine, Nebraska to Mountain View, California. I'm sure that the temperature and the landscape is quite a bit different. And God willing, you didn't run into any snow as you went over the Donner Pass, did you? Or?
Before that, we did.
But you know that as we drive, you know that means that basically Pastor Bernthal is like all of us. Were we to drive, you know, it wouldn't be like Moses parting the waters, but rather it's, you know, you basically put up with what's in front of you, whether there's snow in the middle of Nebraska or the path to the Donner Pass is clear. Now, mind you, while the pass may be clear, the roadway is less than wonderful. As a matter of fact, you know, we call him as pastor, and interestingly enough, the word pastor is the Latin word for either herd or shepherd. So, basically, he is both part of the sheep and also the shepherd of the sheep, called by the great shepherd of the sheep to be the under-shepherd of this congregation. Now, Paul speaks of Jesus Christ as being Lord. But when we read of Christ being Lord in the Scriptures, we have to realize, as we find out in our gospel lesson for today, he doesn't mean Lord in the way that the world means Lord. When we speak about a Lord in, for example, if we think about medieval times, we think about the Lord of the manor, and here's somebody who exercises authority. But yet when we see Jesus Christ, we see he is the servant of all. And that brings me to my sermon theme for this morning: Jesus Christ is Lord. And I'll develop that in three parts. First, God speaks, so we speak. Secondly, we are servants who faithfully speak God's words. And thirdly, we have a treasure in earthen vessels. The first words that are ever recorded are recorded in the very first chapter of Genesis, and God says, "Let there be light." And with these words, creation, our cosmos, and indeed even time itself began, and this is what we confess in the first article of the Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. Of course, we know that God didn't just set creation in motion and then, as some people think, take a cosmic nap for the next few hundred million years or something like this. And that kind of description is God the cosmic clockmaker. He also didn't set creation to unfold over billions and billions of years as kind of a cosmic crapshoot as evolution unfolds, but rather created things in 6 days in which he made the heavens, the earth, and everything in them. He made things both visible and invisible. And by the way, that's from our perspective, visible and invisible. From God's perspective, everything's visible because he can see all things. You know, we know that on the sixth day of creation, God rested because he saw everything was good. But soon after, our first parents doubted God's word, They thought that somehow they could be like God and plunge themselves and the rest of creation into the darkness of sin. But even though creation was plunged into the darkness of sin, God didn't give up. He continued to watch over his creation and to uphold that which he had made. But nothing in all of creation could bridge the gap between the created and the Creator, a gap which had been created by sin itself. So once again, God spoke a word, first a word of promise, but finally, when the time was right, a word become flesh, and he sent his Son, Jesus Christ, into our world to be its Savior and our Savior. And in Christ, the light which has no end shone forth to show us the glory of God and his wonderful word of forgiveness. As a matter of fact, the beginning of John's gospel speaks about that. And it says basically that the darkness tried to overcome the light of Christ, but it failed. On Good Friday, it certainly looked as if death had the last word as the lifeless body of the Savior was taken down from the cross and laid in the tomb. But 3 days later, the light shone forth once again as Jesus emerged from the empty tomb, never to die again. And so, the job of a pastor is to speak God's word. It's to rightly divide and speak that word of law, which would condemn sin. But then, we never stop there, but it is also then to give the light of the glory of God in the face of Christ, to show the wonderful word of forgiveness of sins, and where there is forgiveness of sins, there is life and salvation. Because here the light shines out of the darkness of a sin-stricken world in the face of Christ. And thus in Christ we are servants who faithfully speak God's word. Pastors are servants who base their service on having first been served by Jesus, who, as our gospel lesson tells us, came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Jesus is indeed the Lord of creation, but as he comes to us, he is more pointedly the Lord of our salvation, and he came to serve us with his very life. Probably the greatest service that we can give to Jesus in return is to faithfully speak God's word and properly administer the sacraments. That means, as Paul says, there are some things to do, but also some things also to avoid. As a matter of fact, that's basically what Jesus himself did during his earthly ministry. On the night when he was betrayed, he was surrounded by his disciples in the upper room, and he prayed to his heavenly Father in the presence of the disciples and said, "For I have given unto them," that is the 12, "I have given unto them the words which you have given me, and they have received them and have known surely that I came from you, and they have believed that you sent me." Therefore, Jesus' words don't come from himself, but he faithfully reflects the words and the task that the Father has given him. And that means we speak the whole counsel of God and base that counsel on the God-breathed scriptures of both the Old and the New Testament. We maintain that they are without error and reliable, and we don't hesitate to use proper scholarship to back that up. Let me give you one example. There are Bible scholars who wonder about the integrity of the New Testament. There are people who wonder, did Jesus ever exist? Well, you know, we have hundreds and hundreds of manuscripts that basically comprise the New Testament. We have some fragments of the Gospels that go back to perhaps a generation of Jesus, and we have complete manuscripts that go from the second century on. Now, the differences in manuscripts are mostly copy errors. For example, one manuscript might have Jesus Christ, and the other one might have Christ Jesus. Okay, let's not get excited. Or if you've ever, this happens to me sometimes when I'm not paying 100% attention in singing a hymn, you know, I'll be singing along and here's the "the," and then in the next line down there's a "the," and all of a sudden instead of singing the second stanza, I'm off in the third or something like this. That happens when you copy things out by hand. But you know, in most of this, we can say without qualification that the manuscripts are reliable and Jesus was real. For example, we've all heard of Julius Caesar, and I think we all think Julius Caesar is real. His great work, The Gallic Wars, was written while he was alive and after he had conquered Gaul. Now, as I've said, the earliest manuscripts of the New Testament are probably with 100 or 2 years of Jesus' birth. What's the earliest manuscript we have of Julius Caesar's Gallic Wars? 900 years after his death. You know, nobody doubts Julius Caesar, and we don't doubt Jesus Christ. And so we speak where God speaks and are silent where God is silent. That's a little trickier than it might seem. For example, we recently went through a contentious presidential election. My take on that and what I've told my congregation is God does not tell us who to vote for. Christians of good conscience can disagree, but he does tell us who to pray for. Thus, the faithful pastor is called upon to give spiritual advice and not political, social, economic, or anything else. After all, Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world." Paul also tells us that he doesn't use craftiness or deceit or try to adulterate God's word. That means neither adding to it nor subtracting from it. But subtler than this is twisting God's word. After all, the old evil foe in the Garden of Eden basically came up to Eve and asked the question, "Did God really say?" Today, I guess the idea might be, well, you can't expect what Paul wrote, what Isaiah wrote, maybe even what Jesus said 2,000 some years ago, to be applicable to our world today with its complexity and multiculturalism and everything else. Let me use another example. You know, St. Paul talks about women covering their heads, and I notice that there aren't any here who are covering their heads. And people might say, well, this is some kind of sexist ploy to keep women oppressed and under the thumb of men. It's interesting that a classicist at Yale University wrote a book about Paul among the nations. And she began this book by thinking that indeed Paul was homophobic, he was sexist, you know, he basically was out of touch with the 20th century. Now, she wasn't a New Testament scholar, she was a classicist. That meant she knew classical literature, backwards and forwards, in the Latin and the Greek, and she could also read the New Testament. What she found was, boy, was she wrong. In every instance that she covered, Paul was as progressive as anybody in the 20th century. So now, for example, in Greek society in Corinth, where, by the way, Paul talks about covering heads, well-bred, married women covered their heads. Who didn't? Well, the unmarried, non-citizens, slaves, workers, and even prostitutes. So what did Paul, what does it mean then to these women that Paul would say, in the church, you are all to cover your heads? It wasn't a put down, but rather Paul is saying, in God's sight, we don't have the well-born people over here and down the scale to the slaves and the prostitutes, but rather everybody's equal in the order of salvation. Cover your heads, and that's how God sees everybody. She said, you know, that was just a revelation to her. And she went on for chapter upon chapter to show where basically Paul is considered to be up to date. And then Paul basically also says that he doesn't speak about himself, but rather he points to Christ Jesus. And I guess the faithful pastor is he who avoids what we would call the cult of personality. You know, where you go into a church and you see the picture of the pastor that's almost bigger than the picture of Christ, or I think we can all think of examples, and I don't want to single anybody out, so just file that away. And finally, Paul says, we have a treasure in earthen vessels. Paul says that we have a treasure in earthen vessels, or we might say clay jars or clay pots, and it's quite clear he is referring to himself. But in the scripture, an earthen vessel is also a reference to human frailty. In the Psalms, for example, in Psalm 31, we read David say, I am like a broken vessel. And Paul may well have had this kind of reference in mind when he wrote today's text. In Psalm 12, David described those who were against him. The psalm reads, I am like a broken vessel, for I have heard the slander of many. Terrors on every side, but as for me, I trust in you, O Lord. You know, as far as earthen vessels are concerned, elsewhere in the scripture we read of God being the potter and we being the clay. By its very nature, clay jars don't last. They can crack, they can chip on account of repeated use, and if dropped on a hard surface, they're kind of like Humpty Dumpty. Not all of the king's horses and men could put together the coffee cup that cracks into a million pieces. But as a clay jar, neither Paul nor us, for that matter, are specimens which would be like a Ming vase in a museum, you know, set behind glass or behind ropes so nothing can happen. But rather, we live in a world where others can see us, where others can touch us, where we can trip, where we can break as well. But in spite of this, in spite of our frailty, God is pleased to put a treasure into each one of us. And we might ask, what is this treasure? It is the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, by which he has earned for us the forgiveness of sins. And that's the treasure that ensures that these clay pots are God's, even though they suffer the wears and tears of life. Paul speaks about being afflicted in every way, but not crushed, being perplexed, but not despairing, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed. And these are all experiences that he himself went through, but they also point to the experience of Jesus Christ himself. Think of Jesus and his passion and his cross. Here was the one who was struck down. As Isaiah puts it, he was stricken, smitten, and afflicted. Humanly speaking, Jesus was perishing, going into the very jaws of death. And it would seem that the last enemy had the last word and would swallow him up in the grave. But on the third day, Jesus rose from the dead and conquered death itself. He died for our sins and rose for our justification. And Jesus assures us, because he has forgiven us, we aren't crushed. We aren't left in despair. We aren't left alone or forsaken. And we aren't perishing. Jesus is death and resurrection gives us the forgiveness that we need, so at all times the life of Christ may be active in our dying bodies as well. You know, it's probably fitting that we begin and end with our Savior Jesus Christ. He took on our flesh and he faithfully spoke God's word. He came as a servant to give his life as a ransom for many, there on the cross to pay for our sins. He came and as a servant was struck down, but on the third day rose again, never to die again, and in all of this, he was without sin. But now, pastors, whether it's myself or Pastor Bernthal, aren't without sin, and we aren't perfect. Is anybody here surprised at that? But pastors have a calling, and it's a vocation to follow in the steps of the great shepherd of the sheep, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And here we speak when God speaks, and are silent when God is silent. Our focus is always on the saving work of his Son, Jesus Christ. And as under-shepherds of the Lord Jesus, pastors come to serve and faithfully speak and share God's word. And finally, pastors don't get a pass from the vicissitudes of daily life, but are assured that even in the frailty of our body, the forgiveness of Christ keeps us going as well. And of course, even though our focus is on pastors, these also apply to the life of everyday Christians such as ourselves. Christ asks us to remain faithful to his word and to remain faithful in that word. He asks us to serve him by lovingly serving one another. And he assures us, even though our bodies might be akin to fragile clay pots, that over the period of time, basically, you know, as we get older, we don't get healthier, stronger, or anything else, but basically begin to fray at the edges, he will be with us, he will forgive us, and he will give us a life without end. And in Jesus, we have the light of God's forgiveness, and where there is that light, there is indeed life and salvation. Amen. We now continue with the singing of the offertory on page 9, on hymn 956. Excuse me, not page 950. Hymn 956. Let me get this here. It's basically Create in Me. We rise to sing that, and then we remain seated, and we shall receive the offering.
Spirit.
We give thee, but thine own, whate'er the gift may be. All that we have is thine alone. A trust, O God, from thee. Amen. Now, as the prelude to the rite of installation, we sing a hymn out of the worship supplement, which is the should be the brown book in the pew ahead of you, hymn 780, Dear Lord, to your true servants give. St. Stephen Lutheran Church of the East Bay and the West Bay. We pray. O Almighty God, by your Son and Savior, you have always given to your church on earth faithful shepherds to guide and feed your flock. Therefore, we pray, make all pastors diligent to preach your holy word and administer your means of grace, and grant your people wisdom to follow in the ways that lead to life eternal. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, ever the one true God, now and forever. Amen. Here in part what the Holy Scripture says concerning the institution of the office of the Holy Minister. In Matthew we read, Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Hear what the Holy Scripture says concerning the responsibilities of the office of the Holy Minister. In the 21st chapter of John, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? And he said to Jesus, Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said to Peter, Feed my lambs. Jesus said to him a second time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And Peter said to Jesus, Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said to Peter, Tend my sheep. And Jesus said to Peter a third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. Then do not neglect the gift you have, which was given to you by prophecy when the council of elders laid their hands upon you. Practice these things, devote yourself to them, so that all may see your progress. Keep a close watch on yourself and on the teaching. Persist in this, for by doing so you will save both yourself and your hearers. And in 1 Corinthians, Paul writes, This is how one should regard us as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required of stewards that they be found faithful and trustworthy in all that they do. Hear what the Holy Ministry, the Holy Scripture says concerning the strength and promise that God gives those in the Holy Ministry. Continue in those things that you have learned and be assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Dear brother in Christ, the Lord grant that you receive and keep these words in your heart, so that you may be encouraged and strengthened in your labor. God gathers his church by and around his holy gospel, and thereby also grants it growth and increase according to his good pleasure. That this may be done, he has established the office of the holy ministry in which you have been called by the church and have been ordained and consecrated by prayer and the laying on of hands. It is fitting that you should once again acknowledge the responsibilities of this holy office in which you are to serve as a pastor of St. Stephen Lutheran Church of the East and West Bay. And in the presence of this congregation before our Lord God, to whom you must give an account now and on the last day, I ask you, do you acknowledge that the Lord has called you through his church into the ministry of word and sacrament? If you do, say, I do.
I do.
Do you believe and confess the canonical books of the Old and New Testament to be the inspired word of God and the only infallible rule of faith and practice? If you say, yes, I believe and confess.
Yes, I believe and confess.
Do you believe and confess the three ecumenical creeds, namely the Apostles, the Nicene, and the Athanasian creeds, as faithful testimonies to the truth of the Holy Scriptures, and do you reject the errors which they condemn? If you do, say, yes, I believe and confess.
Yes, I believe and confess.
Do you confess the unaltered Augsburg Confession to be a true exposition of the Holy Scripture and a correct exhibition of the doctrine of the Evangelical Lutheran Church? And do you confess that the Apology of the Augsburg Confession, the small and large catechisms of Martin Luther, the small called Articles, the Treatise on the Power and Primacy of the Pope, and the Formula of Concord, as these are contained in the Book of Concord, but are also in agreement with this one scriptural faith? If you do, say, yes, I do confess.
Yes, I do confess.
Do you promise that you will perform the duties of your office in accordance with these confessions, that all your preaching and teaching and your administration of the sacraments will be done in conformity with the Holy Scriptures and with these confessions? If so, yes, I promise with the help of God.
Yes, I promise with the help of God.
Will you faithfully instruct both the young and old in the chief articles of the Christian faith? Will you forgive the sins of those who repent? And will you promise never to divulge the sins confessed to you? Will you administer faithfully to the sick and dying? And will you demonstrate to the church a constant and ready ministry centered in the gospel? Will you admonish and encourage the people to a lively confidence in Christ and holy living? If so, yes, I will with the help of God.
Yes, I will with the help of God.
Finally, will you honor and adorn the office of the holy ministry with a holy life? Will you be diligent in the study of Holy Scripture and the confessions? And will you be constant in prayer for those under your pastoral care, If so, say, I will, the Lord helping me through the power and grace of his Holy Spirit.
I will, the Lord helping me through the power and grace of his Holy Spirit.
Beloved in the Lord, Holy Scripture says, obey your leaders and submit to their authority. They keep watch over you as men who must give an account. Obey them so that their work will be a joy and not a burden, for that would be of no advantage to you. You have heard the solemn promise of Pastor Luke, called to be your pastor. Will you receive him? Show him that love, honor, and obedience in the Lord that you owe to the shepherd and teacher placed over you by the Lord Jesus Christ. And will you support him by your gifts and pray for him always, that in his labors he will remain a cheerful spirit, and that his ministry among you may be abundantly blessed? If so, answer, we will with the help of God.
We will with the help of God.
Will you honor and uphold your pastor as he serves Christ in all his God-pleasing responsibilities? Will you aid him as he cares for his family? Will you be diligent to put the best construction on everything, recognizing that love covers a multitude of sins? If so, then answer, we will with the help of God.
We will with the help of God.
The Almighty and most merciful God strengthen and assist you always. Pastor Bernthal, are you willing and ready to assume this public trust and responsibility? If so, say, I am.
I am.
Luke Bernthal, I installed you as a pastor of St. Stephen Lutheran Church of the East and West Bay and St. Stephen Lutheran School, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. I would now ask members of the council to come forward and pronounce a blessing over the new under-shepherd of Christ whom God has given to you. Diligent in season and out of season, always proclaim the light from above and the gospel of Jesus Christ.
The Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Deuteronomy 31:8.
The Lord is a refuge for the oppressed, a stronghold in times of trouble. Those who know your name trust in you. For you, Lord, have never forsaken those who seek you.
Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to him, and he will make your path straight.
The elders who direct the affairs of the church well are worthy of double honor, especially those whose work is preaching and teaching. 1 Timothy.
I will give you shepherds after my own heart, who will lead you with knowledge and understanding.
Therefore, my dear brothers, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain.
May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Romans 15:30.
Those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. Isaiah 40:31.
Please be seated. Go therefore and be a shepherd of God's flock. Preach the word of God. Administer the sacraments. Offer prayer for all the faithful. Instruct, watch over, and guide the flock among which the Holy Spirit has placed you. Do it not for earthly gain, but with great joy, for you have been called not to lordship, but to serve his flock. And when the sheep shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. The Almighty and merciful God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Bless and preserve you. Amen. Please be seated. We now rise for prayer. O Father in heaven, whose we are and whom we serve by thy kingdom, come. We thank thee for the manifestation of Jesus as Lord and Christ and as King forevermore. And we pray that his dominion may be established from sea to sea and from the rising to the setting of the sun. We thank thee that thou hast given mankind the divine sovereign whose law is love, whose crown is truth, and whose scepter is righteousness. And we pray that in every nation, kindred, and tribe may confess that he is Lord to thy glory. We give thee thanks that though he is the King of kings, yet he was tempted in all points as we are, so that he might be a worthy Savior, able to save all that come unto thee by him. May thy kingdom come unto the multitudes of the earth. Give the heathen for Christ's inheritance. Cause the kings of the earth to bow before him, and let all the earth see that he only is for the healing of the nations. Bear thy holy arm in the eyes of all lands, and let all the ends of the earth see the salvation of our God. And as thy kingdom is within us, a spiritual realm of the heart, may thy kingdom come in new power and strength to us also, O Lord. May the peace of Christ rule in our hearts in thankfulness and praise. By his example, teach us to trust in thy word and to be obedient to thy commandments. For his sake, give us grace to be merciful and kind, to be humble in mind and lowly in spirit. In his word, show us the pathways to true wisdom. In his sufferings, death, and resurrection, grant that we, redeemed in body and soul, may be dead unto sin and alive unto righteousness. And by the inspiration of Christian fellowship and worship, lead us to rejoice in thy grace and to give thanks for thy mercy. Grant that thy kingdom may come to us. For thy church on earth we pray, O God, save it from weakness and error, from unfaithful shepherds and false prophets. Deliver us from heresy and schism. Defend us against the seed of Satan and the terror of godless men. Grant that thy church may be secure against the powers of hell. Teach thy people to be patient in hope, steadfast in faith, and instant in prayer until the time when thou shalt send forth thy angels to gather thine own into thine everlasting kingdom, and when the righteous shall shine forth as the sun and be joyful forever and ever. To this end, give comfort to those who mourn, patience to the sick, peace to the anxious, strength to the weak, abundance to the needy, and forgiveness to the repentant. Bestow thy mercy on all of us, and teach us ever to set our affections on those things which are above, where Jesus Christ, our Lord, helps to reign us. In his most holy and precious and glorious name we pray, for he has also taught us to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
Amen. Blessed Lord, who has caused all holy scripture to be written for our learning, grant that we may in a respectful manner hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that by patience and comfort of your holy word, we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life, which you have given us in our Savior, Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, ever the one true God, world without end.
Amen.
I would now ask Pastor Bernthal to come and deliver the benediction.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Our closing hymn is found in your worship bulletin in the insert in the white page.
Thank you. So we can set up and everybody can come after us.